Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Crappy Hour Live. Alive.
Alive.
Hi, Ronnie, that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm having trouble figuring out lighting because it's a different time of day now and it's going to be dark. Mm-hmm. So I need the yellow lighting. But now I look like I have jaundice.
Wow. I would normally have a lot of sympathy for you, except for the fact that I'm broadcasting from my childhood bedroom where I am basically in sepia tone at the moment. And so whatever lighting is going on in your place, that's problematic. Multiply it by 10 for me. Over here in Katona, New York. And as you can see, the bonnet is on the air conditioner. So, childhood home, it's good to be back.
Good to see you, buddy. All right, everybody. Well, welcome to the show tonight. This is an episode we talk shit about Bravo news, okay? What kind of Bravo news you want to talk about today, Ben?
I mean, there's so much good stuff. I feel like we'll let's work our way up. Should we work our way up to that little video, or do you want to start off with that one?
Let's start off with it. I think that'll be fun to start off with.
Well, we talked about at one of our live shows this weekend. We talked about this video of Kyle being yelled at by a lady on the street with her little three dogs, which, and of course, the dogs have little bows in them and everything. And we couldn't hear anything. But of course, over the weekend, a second view of this whole thing came out. By the way, Kyle's version has not come out, even though Kyle was recording the whole thing. So someone else recorded this.
In the LGBTQ plus community, we do not make people share their private videos.
That was really devastating to me. So someone else recorded this interaction, and they were from a different angle, and they were closer, and they've definitely picked up some of the audio. So what?
I just want to say before you press play on that. Just to remind people, for people who didn't listen to the Beverly Hills Live in Boston recap, we did discuss this, as Ben said, and we had some predictions on what was being said in this video. We both agreed that this was one sturdy woman who I would not fuck with. Listen, no. I'm not going to pull out my phone around this woman. I'm going to tell you that right now, ever. Mm-hmm. Not to even talk to anybody, because I'd be terrified that her energy would seep into the phone. But this sturdy lady, my prediction was she talked like this. You want to fuck with me, bitch? You want to fuck with me? Okay, that was my prediction. And I'm just putting that out there to remind everyone that I'm a very psychic gay. Okay?
Right. I've heard her voice, so I can't be in. I can't remember what I thought it sounded like, but when I heard her voice, it was exactly what I thought it would sound like, if that makes sense. You know, basically, something in the Vicky Gunvalson range. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to add it to the stage. And
you don't have some stomach, says to walk to the bedroom.
I don't have some about their dog.
It's like Kirkman and Vicky.
This is her talking to the cop with all love.
Not even like this. So why are you fucking threatening me that you're gonna take away my animals and all of us?
My animals.
The little pig bows.
What have I ever done to my dog? What? Shut the fuck up, bitch.
She's telling Kyle.
The way she walks so slowly with these dogs, it's Kyle, and Kyle just backs up, so scared.
Oh, coming up in Kyle's face.
Shut up!
you're really dealing with the wrong person.
Well, thank God the assistant was there to stand up for her, because Kyle is hiding behind Teddy. Her friend was stage four camera.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She just said, just because you fuck your own dogs doesn't mean.
You're worse than I am. That's probably enough, right? But how shocked are you that she says worse?
Not shocked at all. Someone says Abby from Dance Moms. That's actually probably even more accurate. That is exactly who it is. It is Abby Lee Miller, walking dogs, screaming. She's like, Kyle is not at the top of the pyramid this week.
Yes. Well, what this video did not show was this lady pulling the dogs up on the curb, which I guess is what Kyle was seeing. I mean, I don't know who took the first video, but the first video was this lady dragging her dogs by the leash, and they're little dogs, and one couldn't get up the curb, and she just kind of dragged it up there. Like, oh. Yeah, I mean, this lady wasn't great to her dogs. It's not like, hey, this lady's a hero or anything. This lady sucks, but God, if you have a shitty person, do us all a favor. If you're not going to institutionalize them, aim them towards Kyle.
Yeah. Funny because why is Kyle still dealing with, why is she still recording this woman and talking to her? Just keep walking. Why would you, if this woman is obviously going to have an explosive reaction, you're a celebrity, just keep it moving. But instead that Kyle busts out her camera and antagonizes her more and then hides behind Teddy and her assistant. There's just no good way that this can come out of it. The only way Kyle could win this is if she releases the video and is like, look at this, I just am shocked that she hasn't released that video. I mean, that's just taking up space on her phone at this point.
Well, I love when it makes a Karen video. It's like Karen on Karen, which I like. It's a death match. What do they call it? It's a cage match. It's a Karen cage match, because you've got Karen. Kyle thinking she's making a video of a Karen, but Kyle's being a Karen by making the video.
Yeah, it's kind of like this, it's like a vortex. It's like a Mobius strip of Karen, right? So
I don't know what that means. I'm going to go with it. So,
infinity.
In some other news, let's see here. Kyle, speaking of Kyle is also in the Lincoln Lawyer season 4, which means that is the fourth season in a row. I will not be watching that show. So congrats though. That's cool.
I did see some of that because my parents visited. So of course my dad was like, Lincoln Lawyer it is. So they watched all of it and my friend was in it. So I was happy to, two of my friends were in it. So I was happy to support, but I don't think I would have naturally supported without my parents being there.
Yeah. I hope they make Kyle's lines like Kyle. Like, what are you talking about? Ma'am, we caught you breaking into a house. You broke into a house. What about that time you ignored me at lunch?
I hope they make her like a meth queen or something like that. Like she has to answer the door being like, right, things are really hard right now. Like, you want to come in? You want to have something to eat? What do you want?
Him will be so upset.
Now that I say that out loud, that may come too close to home. Maybe not a great choice.
Because Kim's done that work already in Black Snake Moan. So Kyle better not steal her work.
Yeah. But yet that's exactly how Kyle would operate.
100%. Okay, so let's see what else happened this week. Ramona facetuning herself even catches the news. How does Ramona keep catching herself in the news all the time?
Well, housewives facetuning themselves is nothing new. We saw Gina Keough do it excessively not so long ago, where her daughter had to be like, Mom, stop it. But what was so fun with Ramona is that she facetuned herself so aggressively that she actually looks like she's 12. And she's like next to these guys. And then Ramona keeps on giving up answers as to what happened. She's like, the first caption was like, just another great night in Palm Beach. Okay. Just me hanging out with Stephen La Rochelle and Mo Kanafanani. But then people are like, Ramona. And she's like, no, I didn't even do anything to it. I didn't even touch it. Just the beautiful gaze who took the photo did this to me. I don't know. I don't understand anything. Okay.
This is no filter. I don't know how. You know what? Thanks for gorgeous gay guys. But I don't think the gay guys are face-tuned, which cracks me up. Because we know how to be when we're with a real housewife. We've never face-tuned ourselves, but I think we've had to face-tune a couple of housewives. They've requested it,
Yeah, always. But this is there are I feel like sometimes it feels like the people who are like most in need of face tuning are the ones who are least capable of using it. And it's like, we're just seeing it. Like Adrienne Maloof had a moment also recently where she kind of like reduced her face into looking like the Zoloft ball. And it's just, I think it's just Ramona acting like she definitely did not do this. She definitely did not face tune herself into like a little girl face. Like this is just something that was done to her. Oh, well, okay.
You know what? I was attacked by Facetune. That's it. And then Facetune responded to her response and said, why are we dragged into this? Which I like. I like that Facebook gets messy on all of these. You would think that Real Housewives would be better with Facetune than they are. I mean, Kim Zolciak is still making half of buildings disappear behind her because she's like pulling herself in so much.
The squiggles. And then all the buildings are hourglass shaped.
And then Kenya Moore released her new YouTube image because she's doing like her own YouTube confessionals, I guess, or she's doing something. I don't know. I haven't watched it, but she's doing something on YouTube and released a new photo and she's got an extra finger on there. Like, were you thinning out your hands? Like, are we getting to that point where we're like, you know what? I need to face tune my hands. My hands are really having a fat day, guys. Lots of sodium. Face tune them.
It's just like when plastic surgery just sort of like showed up on the block, people just went wild with it. And you just have to let the science develop a little bit. And so people are just so desperate that they just hit the face tune and they go to the max, you know, and I think what happens is that when you do it, you have like it's like a slippery slope. So you have your face and you do one little adjustment on it and you're like, oh, that's fun. It's like a fun little tweak. And then you like go like a little bit further just to see what it looked like. And you're like, well, that looks ridiculous. So then you go back to the one that you just tweaked, and then the tweaked one looks kind of boring now. So you're like, well, maybe a little bit more. So now you go to the one that used to look ridiculous, but now that looks nice compared to what used to be there. And you just keep on doing it, and then suddenly you turn around.
What happens?
And you're a blurry thumbprint.
It's a gateway drug. It's like marijuana leads to heroin, as they used to tell us growing up. Or how it's like gayness, you know, like you accept being gay, and then suddenly you're allowing people to marry goats. You know, it's just like a sliding scale. Or like Botox. Look, I started Botox and then I did it to the point where I was like, oh, I'm just going to get a shot or two. I did it to the, wait, can you see him in this? You see this little horn coming out? My Botox horn. Because my muscles in my face don't know what to do. So I have two Botox horns now. You see? It's just it's a slippery slope, guys. It's a slippery slope. You do one line of cocaine. Before you know it, you're snorting gay goats and you have horns.
It's just what's going to happen, okay? You know what?
That's right. Because watch yourself.
This is what happens with like gorgeous gay men, okay?
No, that's it. It's gorgeous gay people. It's homosexuals. So Bethany has had a big week in the news, in the Bravo sphere. First, she got into a fight with Gia because she's like, what? And another person like wasting their money? I mean, Gia, what? You're not going to be a lawyer? Like, what the hell? Your parents need you. Or whatever she said to Gia. That's not a quote. It's
she
just
told Gia to pay her taxes, I believe. Right.
She said to pay her taxes. Well, they started getting into it because then Gia had a video where she was like, you know what? I'm going to say this to Bethany. I hope that TikTok $1,000 was worth it to attack a family. Okay. I hope it was worth it. So now Bethany is shooting back.
Yeah. This is a classic Gia, by the way, or classic Judice, that, you know, Gia is going to throw the family thing, you know, front and center to shield herself. And you know what? We're not going to deal with it. We don't care. We're not going to. So Bethany fires back and she's, of course, like, oh, really? Huh? Really? That's what I say. How about you pay your taxes? Huh? How about you pay your taxes for once? You never pay your taxes. Okay. You got to pay taxes to get a life and get ahead in this world. Okay. So she is, I like, by the way, that Monsters and Critics is like, the most random feud of the year goes to Gia and Bethany, which, I do think that's true. Anyway, Gia thinks that she's doing something by coming for Bethany, but Bethany, of course, is going to destroy her. And Bethany's like, you know what? I made my first $1 million before I even knew who Gia Judice was. So forgive me if I'm not taking financial lessons from the daughter of a walking case study.
Yeah. She's like, what do I watch that show? I mean, what is that show? Like, I don't know what that show is. Like, last time I watched that show, they were like, they were fighting at a christening. Okay. Like, who does that? Like, seriously. You know,
when your mom and stepdad owe nearly $3 million to the IRS, the smartest move might be just to stay quiet.
Yeah. She said, I don't have a PhD in economics, but I do have a multi-million dollar company, clean finance, and the good sense to call a lawyer before I call a stylist. Okay? So if Gia ever needs a mentor, I'm available. If ever I need a blowout, I'll call Gia. Okay? Like eyelash extensions, I'm calling you. Okay? But for taxes, no. Pay your taxes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. Until one day,
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Kat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are lost.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Kat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people get a wild haircut or book a spontaneous trip when life throws them a curveball. But Molly? Well, she dove headfirst into a world of no-strings-attached sex, secret rendezvous, forbidden affairs, and unforgettable adventures. And together, we tell every juicy detail in Dying for Sex, Wondery's award-winning podcast that's now streaming on a TV near you, starring Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. And to top it off, we're dropping brand new bonus episodes where I sit down with the cast to spill all the spicy secrets. Desire, friendship, self-discovery, and the ultimate bucket list of pleasure. This is a story that had everyone talking. Listen to the original Dying for Sex and brand new episodes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the original series before anyone else and completely ad-free on Wondery Plus.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen. And ultimately, you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I have to say, when it comes to Bethany, when her energies are pointed in the right direction, she really is pretty excellent. I mean, like, it was really very satisfying for me to see her just, like, shut Gia down like that.
Well, she's like the crazy lady with the dogs in the street. Like, she needs help. And watching Bethany, like, slowly lose it every year, more and more every single year, it's sad, you know? And you're like, oh, my God, I wish we could still call, you know, I wish we could still call for help for people, whatever. Like, I saw Asylum. And, you know, some of you hope for that. But then it's best, right, like, aim the weapon at something good and it's fun, you know? So she went off on her. And at the very end, I'm reading this from Reality Blib, which is one of our favorite French magazines, Reality Blib. And they say at the very end, Reality Blurb has not been able to verify the authenticity of this new statement by Bethany. You know why they can't do it? Because these AI fucks are doing too much. You guys need to stop, okay? Stop AI. They put all of these quotes that have nothing to do with what anybody said, or like a slight bit to do, but they give them these big flowery like paragraphs. Do you ever read them on Facebook? There's like huge, there's people like fan groups on Facebook that post them. It's like Paige DeSorbo said, "In the twilight of my 20s, I never thought possible to feel the emotion I thought as a tear slowly dropped from my face and I realized the man in my bed wasn't the man I thought he were." I'm like, Paige doesn't talk like that. Where are you getting this? You know?
Yeah.
Like, you got Kim Zolciak giving like soliloquies about shit. Kim doesn't know that many words. Come on, AI. You're making people were worried that AI was going to dumb us down. It's actually making people sound too intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going the other way around. I am curious to, I wonder if AI, if there's a good prompt, to see like if we could get AI to say something in the style of Bethany Frankel and how accurate it would be. Like, maybe something like review. Okay, here I've got chat GPT. Should I have her? Okay, what's the what do we want Bethany to comment on? Tuna.
Have Bethany Frankel review give a bad review to Pop-Tarts.
Okay, give a bad review to Pop-Tarts in the voice of Bethany Frankel. Okay.
Okay.
Ask your turn.
Okay. Here. I got one too.
You got one yours. Too. Okay. Oh, honey, don't even get me started on Pop-Tarts. I mean, really? Who is still eating these cardboard pockets of regret in 2025? It's like if sadness had a pastry crust, it would be a Pop-Tart. You bite into it and it's just dry, sad sugar wrapped in a cry for help. The frosting is this like weird little afterthought. Like someone drizzled almond glue and called it a feature. And don't even talk to me about the filling. It's like molten jam from a dentist nightmare. It goes on for a while.
This is actually good.
Yeah, what's your sound like?
All right, let's talk about Pop-Tarts, okay? Like, first of all, like what even are these? It's like someone tried to make a toaster strudel after a wine tasting and gave up halfway through. Like, what are you doing? Like, you've got this cardboard crust situation pretending to be pastry, and then the inside, a blob of mystery jam that tastes like regret and high fructose corn syrup's cousin from Jersey. Okay? Like, don't come at me with the frosted strawberry. It's basically a dessert disguised as a breakfast. This is not food. This is a cry for help.
That's good.
It is good. I'm, like, always so impressed with this. Okay. I wrote a prompt. I said, write a one paragraph story where Bethany Frankel meets Glenn Close and talks about Pop-Tarts. So this is what, this is the one I did one paragraph because we can't sit here. You can't sit here listening to me narrate the whole thing. So this is a one paragraph story. Is everyone ready for this ChatGPT story time? Bethany Frankel. Sorry. The first line already started to make me giggle.
Diggly squat.
Okay. Bethany Frankel was mid-rant at a Soho charity brunch, her hands slicing the air as she denounced Pop-Tarts as the edible equivalent of a bad ex-boyfriend, when Glenn Close, elegant in oversized sunglasses and a linen blazer, leaned in from the next table and said, I actually kind of love the brown sugar cinnamon ones. Bethany blinked, momentarily stunned.
Glenn, no. You're a national treasure. You cannot be out here defending the toasted cardboard.
Glenn smiled, sipping her green tea. They're nostalgic, like eating your childhood and hating yourself a little. Bethany paused, then nodded slowly.
Okay, that's fair, but only if you're eating them ironically and on a private jet.
The two women clinked glasses of kombucha and bonded over their shared love of sarcasm, couture, and questionable snack choices.
Okay, I said, tell me Bethany Frankel's opinion about Lexi Wood and Jesse Solomon's affair. Oh, I guess that's not good because it's actually giving me true things instead of making something up. Oh, well, probably time to give up on AI anyway, but that's pretty good. Bethany, I have to say, asking AI to mimic Bethany Frankel is the best thing I've ever seen AI do. It's the most accurate AI I've ever seen.
It's actually the most likable way to receive Bethany Frankel is through AI. People are really upset in the chat about us using AI on this.
It's not what we admitted it was.
Like, AI's using up our water.
Sorry. I don't think there's getting like Bravo AI at this point, you guys. Honestly. Like, I just don't think anybody's gonna be like, you know what we should do now? We should stop using AI. I think the cat's out of the bag. Pandora's box has been opened. We're all going to go thirsty. That is crazy, though, all the stuff that AI uses up. And, you know, I didn't learn about any of it until I read comments on our stuff. Because we mentioned AI in one podcast in passing, and people were like, how dare you? It's killing the earth, which I didn't know. So I guess we contributed. Sorry. Hopefully it was worth it for a good Pop-Tart review. And a
You know what else? You know what's also killing the earth? Humans.
Seriously. How about you get off my AI ass and stop having babies? How about we do that? So I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, no, so
we get it. We understand the ethical implications.
So Bethany, speaking of Bethany, Bethany's week continued to go on. This is information I am getting mostly from Vanderpod Recaps over on Instagram, who we all know I read religiously, love her work. It started as Patrick McDonald, producer we've all seen many, many times on Real Housewives, chasing housewives around, trying to keep them out of fights, et cetera, et cetera. He came out with his own Instagram video, which I thought, this is cool. I wonder what Patrick's doing. And I clicked on that, and it was the longest Instagram video. It was two parts. And yeah, he just went and went and went and went and went. And I know that this would sound completely hypocritical coming from me, but I'm the president of the Hippocrat Party, so I'm going to say it anyway. Brevity. Brevity.
Yeah.
But he went off on Bravo, basically claiming, well, a lot. Basically claiming that he was iced out because he had an OnlyFans, and which we've been watching his journey, not through OnlyFans, but on Instagram. He's always posing with a gay porn star, and it looks like he's been leaning into that territory. So I guess he finally did his OnlyFans and did that. And I guess he got iced out for doing it, which seems kind of unfair, but and then turned on Bravo and has now been giving up the scoop.
Yeah, I wonder what the full story is here, because it does seem strange to me, because it's not like he was working at, like, you know, JP Morgan, you know, and then they're like, whoa, one of our bankers is doing OnlyFans. I feel like it's surprising to me that Bravo would ice him out. I mean, you know, trust victims, all that stuff. But, like, I don't know, like, it's like, I feel like there's more to this story than we're receiving. And I know this sounds totally vapid of me, but If it takes like two really long Instagram stories or posts or whatever to explain the situation, I feel like that's wild. Like, isn't it just as simple as, like, yeah, I was a producer on the show for like 5 years, did all these different shows. I was held in, well, I kept on getting jobs. People liked me. People liked to work with me. I started doing OnlyFans. They stopped hiring me, and that's fucked up. I feel like that's all it requires. So the fact that it's like this big long thing, I'm like, did you just talk too much at the job? Do people just get bored listening to you?
Well, this is what happens when you're always behind the camera and then somebody finally asks you your opinion. It's like it never ends. You know, you've had to stay quiet for so long that it just goes on and on and on. But yeah, he talks a lot. But basically, Vanderpod Recaps did a recap of him on Just Be with Bethany Frankel herself. So she's like, all right, what are the moral dilemmas that you had reviewing Pop-Tarts for your first time and also doing reality television? What were the moments where you questioned your own integrity? And he says, you know, I don't know if it was questioning my own integrity, but questioning what it is we're all doing as a whole. I don't think it was a singular moment. I think it's been a journey of getting me there. You know, I mentioned in the video that I made, oh God, don't even reference that. I think in the beginning, the first couple of years, I was blinded to the toxic environment by my excitement to just be there. I was a Housewives fan, blah, blah, blah. And it was fun, you know, to be like, oh shit, I'm going in there. We've got shit between Candy and Sheree. You know, it's really fun. And then as time goes on, you're like, wow, this is really taking a toll on the woman here. You know, like, this is absolutely spent my colleagues were, and barely even being able to stay awake at times on these cast trips because they're so exhausted. So then it basically turns into Bravo being a completely toxic work environment.
Here's what I don't understand, and this is not me being critical of him or whatever, but this is like the second time now. Well, we see this with like Brandy, we see this with Leah, now we're seeing it with him, which is like, I tried to get my job. I was trying to get hired again. I couldn't get hired again. So, by the way, this place is super toxic and awful. What they do to the people is terrible. I'm like, so you were upset that you couldn't go back to do that? Like, you were upset. Like, you're like, oh God, what they do to people is terrible. You know, the way they treat all these various sensitive topics is terrible. And I tried to get a job doing it, and I couldn't get hired. So now I'm so outraged. I'm like, I kind of feel like it has to be one or the other. It's like, they seemed like they were great. They treat everyone well. But then when it turns out that as soon as I started doing extracurriculars, doing OnlyFans, suddenly I was iced out. And then it's like, oh, that sucks. They're fake. They're full of shit. But like, if they are a terrible, terrible, terrible organization, and I'm not saying that they aren't, but they are, then like, I don't know. I guess it just doesn't land as hard for me of like, but you're basically saying you're upset that you were iced out, with the implication being like, I should have my job there. I should have more employment there at this place that's really terrible. Like, I should be out there exploiting people, and I'm not allowed to exploit people right now.
Right. Like, I was a part of this machine exploiting people, but now that I've been fired, it's a terrible machine. And that's kind of, that's, you know, look, I mean, there's the whole, first of all, there's a whole perfect victim thing, right? Like, you don't have to be a perfect victim. Both things can be true. You know, he could have been a part of it, but also not felt great about it and still been a victim of whatever. And I believe that he is a victim. If he really did get iced out for doing OnlyFans, I think that's bullshit. You know, some people would say, well, there are part of jobs where you're higher up that is not allowed, you know, but this is Bravo, and I don't want to hear any moral preaching from Bravo. Okay. If someone wants to suck a dick on the OnlyFans, that's fine by me. So,
and they have porn stars. They just had Raheem in the Clubhouse and things like that. So they're very happy to play around with this and to talk about it on Denise Richards and her wild things.
But I think where a lot of this with all of the people who've gone against Bravo is you don't get a hero edit when you come through with all of this stuff after you've been fired. If someone quits and they're like, I'm quitting this because this is bullshit and this is how they treated me and this is how they treat all women and all people who come on this show, and that's crap, that would be one thing. I think that people would listen a lot more to that than someone like, you know, Aaliyah, who's like, oh, well, I got fired, so fuck these people. I'm going to burn the house down and sue them and blame my alcoholism and all of this other stuff, which I'm not saying is necessarily what he's doing, because the stuff that I've read that he said really isn't even that bad. I mean, he basically says it's long hours, it's toxic. That's a non-union gig, right?
Definitely. And he at one point, I read one of the articles, was he said, yeah, Bravo doesn't like it when people get sober. They kind of like roll their eyes because they're like, oh, it's so much, it's more boring. They incentivize you staying drunk. And I'm like, I know that sounds terrible, but at the same time, like, have you seen the Bravo audiences? Do we act excited when people are sober? Generally not. I mean, we want them to be sober for their own health. But I just don't think it's like a bombshell that like, oh, this person who was like wildly entertaining whenever they got drunk, they've decided that they're going to become sober and they're not going to go out as much and they're going to go to sleep early. Like, I kind of get it if an executive is like, oh, well, that's good for them, kind of bad for us. Like, I get it. Like, I just feel like that's not a super strong point. Like, you know, still got to make a show.
So he goes into the Rachel/Raquel stuff from Vanderpump Rules, and he was a producer on her last two seasons. And so he's talking about how he did the last season and they're trying to make her a big hero, stepping away from James and all that stuff. And then Scandoval thing happens, and he's like, you know, like, I understand this was a very upsetting thing, and I have empathy for what Ariana went through on that show and all the pain she experienced, absolutely, but Ariana had the entire world rallying around her, you know, so in that moment, that's a lot of support, and that kind of can soften the blow of this really painful experience. But then on the flip side, you have Rachel and Tom Sandoval, who are suddenly like the most hated people in America, and so for weeks you're building up to this, like amping it up, this vitriol towards them. And then we get to this reunion where they specifically get Rachel annihilated, you know? So I spent that entire day with her, which we saw, you know, on the show. He was featured a lot on that reunion. And he's like, we weren't filming when all that happened, so I hadn't seen her in a minute. So we were catching up, and I could only imagine what she felt like that day. Being slut-shamed by the entire world is something I don't think many people can understand. I get that too. And I mean, look, we felt a little, I mean, I felt empathy sympathy, I guess I should say, for Raquel that whole season, because they were being so mean to her.
Yeah.
That whole, especially KT was being so evil to her that whole season. And then when the Scandoval stuff happened, it was like, okay, it's justified. So let's fuck her up. And I felt for that because she's a young person, but I would just like to correct, she's not really being slut shamed. She was being like having an affair with your best friend shamed. You know,
just
being like shamed for betraying the person who kind of kept her on that show by being one of the only people who would shoot with her and bring her into group scenes and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I do think that there was a good amount of like, people were angry at Raquel, but I think it's it's like you said, I think it was more grounded in the fact that like Ariana had taken her in and had always propped her up and had rallied for her. And then Raquel went and was sleeping with Sandoval, which just felt extremely cruel. But I think we all saw that this was a fragile person. And I think that like as much as we sort of like relish in the craziness of Sandoval, there was always a fear that like this is a woman who may break. And that's very scary. And I think that like, you know, like that was, I think that like a lot of listeners, you know, felt that way. I mean, viewers of Vanderpump Rules felt that way. There were definitely some people who were very harsh and cruel, but I think that like we saved most of our vitriol really for Tom Sandoval. I would hope looking back that that's true.
Oh, she, well, not in that reunion. She got plenty of it from, you know, Katie and Ariana like, and everyone really, Lala and you know, everybody on that show was like really going hard for her in that show, which I can understand to a degree. But as he points out here, he says, so you know, we're all day. And first of all, she had to sit in the green room and watch it. She had to watch
what
the
did
thrashing
you want,
her all
I
fucking
guess my question
day.
Is.
And
yeah.
Then he says, well, let me read what he says. So he says, you know, I'm sorry, but to be called subhuman and be told that you should be fucked by a cheese grater, like on national television, I think that's pretty unacceptable and disgusting. But, you know, like 10 years from now, when we look back and watch that, I think people will look at that with a different set of eyes.
Probably. I don't know. Probably. I guess my question is, this is Bravo's, like, how is it Bravo's fault, I guess, is what I'm saying. This is more of like the fault of people who are maybe more depraved, like people, maybe because Bravo put these people on TV, I guess.
Well, I think just letting it go that much. But I mean, he's not necessarily saying it's Bravo's fault. I think he's talking about any moral objections he had while he was doing it. Like, when did he ever feel moral objections in what he was doing, I think was the initial question. He just talks a lot, so it's like pages of his answer. But it's pretty interesting hearing the backstage stuff, you know. And Bethany says, so what responsibility do you think Andy and Lisa have? Because Andy's a figurehead at the network, and he used to be a producer, and he's a figurehead. And then he and Lisa Vanderpump, who is an executive producer, like, what responsibility do they hold, you know? And also, in asking her about her meds, hold on, it just cut off. It's like someone's bleeding on the side of the road and no one said anything. So does anyone bear that responsibility, or do they all bear that responsibility? I mean, not a bad question.
I mean, Andy had a one-on-one. I mean, Andy had a one-on-one with Raquel, and he, I actually do think that Andy was trying to create a safe space for Raquel with her one-on-one, et cetera.
I mean, not a bad question from Bethany, but we just recapped a classic episode of New York where Bethany eviscerates Countess Luann and calls her a slut and a whore and everything else under the sun, literally for an entire hour. Like, it never stopped. It never fucking stopped. And that was how she rolled. So I think out of all of this, my takeaway is still like, Bethany, of all people to be coming against it, is just like, what? Have you seen yourself on the television, ma'am?
Bethany is exploiting Raquel as much as anyone at Bravo exploited Raquel. You know, Raquel in many ways was chewed up and spat out by the machine. She did some of the chewing herself, and that's not me trying to be risque. Like, she literally, you know, I'm saying that she wasn't like an innocent, totally innocent victim. She was an active participant of this scandal. But Bethany had then swooped right in and was happy to put Raquel front and center and squeeze that lemon for all its juice and use that for her podcast network. So, you know, to me, Bethany is complicit, not to the same degree, but like, she's happy. Like, when Raquel, I think we all recognize after Scandoval happened, if we're really concerned about Raquel's mental health and we're concerned about her and how her well-being is, the best thing for her is to move out of this entire space. And I think for Bethany to sort of bring her back on and be like, no, now she's going to have her side. It's like, let it end, let it die. And I think that Bethany is also, she's
instead
also
of profiting from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she says, so it's almost like a big corporation is making all this money, but then the people out there are getting cancer by being exposed to the radiation. Yeah. But you're like selling pamphlets on what the radiation does to you. You know what I mean? So like you're part of it. And so he's like, yeah, you know, it's all coming at someone's expense. these salacious events. And so she asks him, has he heard from Bravo or anyone from production since he posted the video? And he says, no, he hasn't heard directly from them. He did get a call from someone that was trying to steer me in the opposite direction. And that was from Lisa Vanderpump herself. And she's like, oh, interesting. That slut. So do you have a relationship with her? And he says, well, I worked with her 2 years. I produced 2 seasons and we always had a really great working relationship. We weren't super close, but always had a great relationship. And I hadn't spoken to her since we wrapped, but she was calling to manipulate me and she was calling to extract information from me to see what I was going to do next and to give me names, specific names, and discourage me from speaking out on this. Unfortunately, she was trying to exploit my good relationship with her and take advantage of our good working relationship to get information from me on behalf of someone either at the production company or the network. Even and I guess Vanderpump.
Lisa was not able to help him get a job initially before all this happened. Did he? I wonder if he talked about that. About, like, I guess it sounds like not.
I don't know. But it goes on and on and on. There's a lot. He was disappointed in Vanderpump for the call. You know, it's like 5 pages of him talking, but. Yeah, she was trying to produce me, he said. She was trying to produce me, you know? Well, you know, how's that medicine? So overall, like from everything we've heard from people that produce reality television and from my extensive knowledge of watching Unreal, a fantastic TV show, that job looks like hell. I mean, that job really does look like hell. But I think his timing with how he wants to come out with everything. I mean, it's revenge, but I guess, I mean, I'll talk the most shit about a job after I've been fired too. Right. So maybe isn't that natural?
Yeah. I understand being bitter about a place that like rejected you, but it's just, I don't know. Like again, I'm waiting for all the details. If he got fired or if he got stonewalled because he started doing OnlyFans content, that's like massively hypocritical of Bravo. And it's ridiculous, you know, but, you know, I'm waiting. I do kind of feel like I would not be surprised if we start getting some blind items from people who were like, actually, you know, whatever. I want to hear the whole story. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not the correct response after someone is like, yeah, this shit happened to me at this job and they were terrible. And you say, I'm gonna wait for the whole story. That might be actually a pretty cruel response on my part. But, I just think it's that combination of like, this place was shitty. I was trying to get a job back there and I couldn't get a job back there. So now I'm going to say how it's shitty. And like that always, when people do that, I always think that's very curious.
And now I'm coming forward to save people and promote my OnlyFans, which I'm on. So come check it out.
We'll see. But it's reality TV. So I imagine there is definitely a certain degree of shadiness that just happens at any reality.
I don't feel like anything company. That he said was a lie.
I just don't know. Really,
I don't feel like this is like a lying situation. So it's not like that. It's not that I don't believe anything that he said. I think part of me was like, well, but you did it. So it's like the first person who confesses gets a better deal. I mean, I don't know. All right, let's move on to some other stuff. What do you say? Because that was a lot.
Sounds great.
Can we get to something? Some of my happiest news of the week, Ben.
I would love to do that.
Aaron Leachy getting mom shamed. I loved it. So Aaron has a new little baby. Congratulations. And she was shaking this baby all over her Instagram or whatever. And she's holding, I mean, this baby is like as big as a thumb. And she's like, look at my baby. You know, the baby's hanging over. So she got mom shamed. And the article is from Page Six and it says, Aaron isn't losing any sleep over the parenting police. She clapped back at TikTok. Some fans called her out for the little one's lack of neck support as she mouthed the words to Diamond Donda's She's Back on Wednesday.
The pictures on this are just so hilarious because you do really see this poor little baby, its head like just dangling off the side of her arm, and she's like, hey yo, like this is kind of giving me like flashbacks to Whitney on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives doing that like that TikTok dance for whatever the illness her baby had in like the intensive care unit. I forget what it's called, but it's like one of those things where you're like, could you pay attention to that child for a second, please, ma'am?
Somebody said, what about the baby's neck support? And Lychee replied, it looks worse than it is, promise, LOL. So I love that's her clapping back. And she also said that haters should stop. And some of the, I read a lot of the comments on this and was cracking up just because I love reading like mom fights and stuff. And I swear to God, my mother was in there because someone said, oh God, babies are made of jelly. Who cares? Baby's fine. Cavemen have babies.
When you think about what babies went through for all those decades before modern takes on neck support came around, babies were like flung around on lassos and strapped to the side of a horse.
My mom actually said that one time. I was like, you know, there were certain things as a baby. Like, I remember you sitting me on the ironing board while you were on the phone chain smoking inside the house. And she went, Ronnie, cavemen had babies. Okay. Do you think that was safe? They didn't have cribs. They didn't have high chairs. They didn't have mushy fucking food for you. Okay. They squatted out. The baby fell on a rock. Okay. Was that safe? People survived.
I'm like, all right. Well, so good you point. Will sit on that ironing board. RSV. Thank you, Nikia. RSV is what Whitney's baby had. Yeah, that's like, that's, it is hilarious. Well, my hope from this is that Aaron says, while due to the staggering amount of criticism that I faced when I had a totally benign video of me making a martini with my baby, I have decided I shall no longer put my baby on the internet. And that's what I hope she says, because then it's just one less baby video we have to watch on Instagram.
That's all you want out of this whole
thing. Let's just shame the baby off the gram.
Did we mention a couple of Southern Charm things? I think we mentioned that Leva was leaving last time, and we actually got a message from Leva that was like, excuse me, you guys, why am I hearing that you're telling everybody that I was fired from Southern Charm? That is absolutely not true. And I said, well, because we just kind of assumed you were. I mean, most people who leave Bravo are fired from Bravo. I mean, we didn't say we had news about it. We just, that was our guess. And she said, I'm not reading the actual message, but she said, I wasn't fired. I just got sick of like being the nag of that show. It's really a buzzkill. And I was like, oh, well, that's great.
Okay. Well,
cause that must be a buzz. It's a buzzkill for me. So it's cool that that's actually what she saw, but I told her we would correct it on the show. So there you have it. You have been corrected. I've been corrected. And now Taylor has left. And she leaves a very long Patrick McDonald inspired message. I'm like, girl, this needed to be a sentence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like everything else you say, it could have just been a few monosyllabic words and like a sigh. But she says, hi, everyone. A bittersweet announcement. But after a lot of conversations and thought this past year, it is with a heavy but peaceful heart to announce that I will be stepping away from Southern Charm next year.
I'm exhausted. And that's just a part of it. And it does not get more interesting from there. It's not like it started off slow and then it gets better, you know, like some movies or whatever. It's just bad. It's bad the whole way through.
Yeah.
So bye.
She talks. Yeah. She's been, I can't believe she's been on the show for 5 years, or she's been around for 5 years, but yeah, she's done. We kind of sensed that she's very much in the sidelines. And now that she's no longer really attached to the Shep storyline, you know, the Gaston thing didn't really have much legs. So, yeah, you could see that one coming from a mile away. Taylor is out. Now, in terms of other casting news, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about Candace Dillard Bassett. Candace Dillard Bassett. Well, first of all, it was so interesting. I was out and about with the lovely Christina Ariel from Critical Role and other places. And she tapped me on the shoulder when we were out and about singing karaoke, no less. And she was like, oh my God. And she showed me a tweet, and it was Candace saying something like, it was a very like succinct tweet where Candace was like, what's good, everyone? And then Christina turned to me and said, does this mean that Candace is coming back to Real Housewives of Potomac? Now, I personally was just like, I think she's just saying hi. But, you know, people started speculating immediately, like, Candace is coming back. Well, I didn't think much of it. And then a week later, Candace posted a photo on Twitter of her at NBC Universal. It looked like she had just signed something. So now the speculation is running in two different directions. Either she's going to be on The Traitors, which I think it's too early to sign those contracts for the traders. I think that's going to be like in August or I don't know. It's too early. The other speculation that is really gaining some legs is that Candace is in and Mia is out on Potomac. We don't know if it's true. I guess Candace was also seen filming with the Potomac cast a little bit, but people are really speculating that Candace is back on the show. What do you think, Ronnie?
I don't think they're filming, are they? I haven't heard that they're back in film. Not that that means anything. I don't have like a solid old queen in a bar on that one, but I haven't heard that they're back shooting yet. I heard that that was kind of on hold to see what happens with Karen, even though Karen has a long sentence. But look at Jen Shah. She's going to be out probably in 5 minutes. So who knows? Someone said not too early. They just finished Traitors casting, which would actually line up with what you're
saying. Okay, so maybe she could be going on the Traitors, I suppose. But she definitely took a photo. Like, I've seen the photo. I'm sure you saw it, too, of her standing there, like, with the big peacock behind her. So she's definitely going to be doing something in the universe. We just don't really know what it is. And I don't know. I think I could see Traitors being the more realistic thing, just because Candace and Giselle had a really deep and bitter feud. So deep and bitter, it seems like I don't know if they could ever get past it. What do you think it's more likely she did Traitors or Potomac or neither?
I don't know. I mean, she'll probably do Traitors. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought her back to Potomac. I don't really care. I've had a nice year off, though.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on.
I know that's not a great answer. Like, I don't care, but I don't really care about Candace Knees. I don't. I think it would be fun to watch her on the Traitors, though. I would rather watch her on the Traitors in kind of a new situation because I think her personality can be really fun and funny in certain situations. Like, she had a lot of enjoyable time on Real Housewives of Potomac. It just got to be so much, you know, and it wasn't necessarily her fault. I think it was like a group effort to make it that much. So I don't know that right. I want to see them try that again, but Traitors would be fun. I'd love her to read a few new people. that would be interesting. So I guess I do care. I care enough to make that much of a statement. The other thing that people are speculating is that Mia has officially moved to Atlanta to be with Ink, her best friend. And we know that she'd commented on some Instagrams like, oh, I think I'm ready to be part of this Atlanta cast. Wink. But I doubt that'll happen. Sorry, Mia. Sorry.
They're not going to bring Mia onto Atlanta. No, no way. No way whatsoever. Is there any new Kenya news that you've encountered, by the way?
Just that she has her YouTube and that Portia started her YouTube. So then we talked about this a little bit on the recap, but, just to kind of update you guys here, Kenya got all pissed at Portia for not supporting her. And Portia's like, I'm not your enemy here. Listen, I stood up for you even when you posted, you know, pictures of a teenager doing stuff. I even went to the network and stood up for you. And so people are like, wait a minute, those pictures were from when Britt was a teenager? Is this child pornography? So that's kind of the big new gossip of that, or the new talk that people are doing on that one is like, did she publish child porn? How late into her teens was it? Even if it was when she was 18, that's, you're posting pictures of like some 18-year-old girl on that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's pretty gross.
Not great, good. But it's interesting to see who's friends and who's not now, because all the ladies are doing interviews and their alliances have already all shifted. Like, Kelly and Britt aren't friends anymore. Britt went on Watch What Happens Live and said Kelly's waffles are soggy. They're only a 5 out of 5. And then Kelly said something about her on some other podcast. And then Portia saying things about Kenya, and Kenya saying things about Portia. And then apparently Shamia and Portia aren't friends anymore. So... Mm-hmm. Things should be kicking off on that one pretty quick.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. I mean, I really like the season so far, even though this week's episode was kind of Dullsville until the very end. But yeah, we'll see. I wonder when Phaedra is going to show up onto the show. I feel like I seem to remember that the announcement of Phaedra was not like immediate. It wasn't when Kenya was fired that they were like, Phaedra is ready. It was like, I feel like it was like 2 or 3 weeks, you know? So we'll see.
Carrie in the comments just pointed out, isn't 5 out of 5 good? Yes. So it would have been like a 5 out of 10, I guess she said. She basically said they were mediocre, but thank you for pointing that out because I did say 5 out of 5.
What did you say? 5 out of 5?
They're a 5 out of 5. What a mean thing to say.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. Let's finish this off with a little PK. So a couple PK and Dorit things. First of all, apparently they paid like $300,000 and got their house out of pre-foreclosure. So that's good.
Good. So for
them. Yeah, they have another few months to not pay their rent. So that's good. Also, or their mortgage. That's a lot of money. $300,000. How many months do you think that was for?
They were behind $300,000. I imagine they have a four-figure payment on that house monthly, right? So $300,000 that's a good amount of months to not be paying, I have to say.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of months. But anyway, they paid it off. And then PK, when the reunion was airing, now look, I don't think Dorit's being horrible to PK in this reunion. I think she's being pretty nice. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably am. I usually am. But isn't Dorit just being like, you know, this stuff sucks with PK, but I kind of want him back? Like, isn't she kind of hinting that none of this is her choice and all of this? I thought she's not being that mean. Now, during the season, calling him an alcoholic and all of that wasn't very nice. A severe alcoholic. But I don't think she's like really trash talking him that much. But he posted a picture with an open door. It looks like a hotel room door, I guess, at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And he's got a door open and he's standing there like giving like this one eyebrow raised to the camera. And the caption is, "It's better to admit you walked through the wrong door than to spend your life in the wrong room, babe." That's cold.
Oh, Dorit's the wrong room.
Damn. You're right.
Dorit's the wrong room. I mean, I would argue that she might, like, the implication is that the right door to the wrong room? I'm not sure. And also, how can you walk through the wrong door and wind up in the right room? So, like, if you walk through the wrong door, you're probably in the wrong room too. So if you admit that you walked through the wrong door, guess what? You're in the wrong room. Everything you
better
did
to be in the wrong hallway than the wrong restroom.
Babe, it's better to highlight the wrong band from Pretty Woman than to go into the wrong room to the wrong door.
Yeah, that guy's still an asshole. So that's basically it for that. Is there anything you wanted to finish off with, or is that good for you?
No, I think that's good for me. I think that was okay.
So now we are going to turn this over to you guys, the listeners over on Listener Party. Okay. So everybody who is just listening on audio, thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you in a couple of weeks at 5:30 Pacific time. Thanks for being here. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifah.
Nobody Holds a Candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
We Got Our Wish, it's Jen Plisch.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a Little Bit Loony, Junie. My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She Gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We Love Him Madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
We're Ride or Die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a Whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
She Eases Our Woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're On the Floor with Molly Dorsett.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
There's a Chance of Meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
It's Always a Good Time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She Ain't No Shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.